Okay, so we basically a simple problem. I mean, I'll catch you up here, but basically you have a halacha that you can't, the Korban Pesach has to be roasted by the fire. Fire roasted, not roasted by anything else. So there's, for instance, if when you're roasting the Korban Pesach, it bumps into the wall of the oven, so then the oven roasts it, and not the fire. So then that part of the Korban Pesach you have to peel off. Because it's not tzliyesh. It's going to be tzli by the oven. Similarly, if you were to use a metal spit that you'd stick in the inside of the animal, so the spit is going to get hot. The outside of the spit is going to get hot. It's going to conduct the heat to the inside, and the spit is going to cook the inside of the animal. And again, it's not going to be tzliyesh. It's going to be tzli of the spit. So it would also be a problem. But, as similarly you'd argue, and Rashi argues, is that if you put it on a grate or on a grill, like our barbecues, so then also, now it's no longer, it's not only being cooked by the fire, it's being cooked by the grates, by the metal barbecue, the metal grates. So that's also going to be a problem. But, the Rambam holds that if the grill has holes, has grates, has holes in it, such that the fire is sholeit on the animal, it gets through the holes, fire goes through the holes, so then he says it's fine. Right, then it's fine. And the problem is that why is that fine? Isn't it still being cooked by the isn't it still being cooked by the grates? Right. So right isn't a problem. Now it's touching the grates. Now it's being cooked by the grates. Right. Okay, so that's the problem. Problem is what's the sense of the Rambam in saying it's okay? Yeah, the Ravid, this is the Ravid's critique. The Ravid says, V'hu shelo yiga b'kli. It only works if it doesn't touch the kli. Shehari amru nagu b'charso sholtanu yaklavs mekomo. It touches the earthenware of the oven, then you have to peel off that part. So if the meat, if the carbon metal touches the kli, whatever the kli is, then that's not good. So in the Rasa, he says, I mean, presumably he's arguing on the Rambam, because the Rambam is saying it could be on this grate, on the grill, and if it has holes in it. But he says, what's the difference? If it touches the thing, then either then it's not good, then it's sli machmas the grill. So it should be a problem. So what's the sense of the Rambam that it's okay if it has holes? Who cares if it has holes? Still touching the grill and still being cooked by the grill. Yeah, so Jonah brings up, it's a good point, is that it's on the surface it sounds a little bit like the spit, the metal spit, right? Because the grate, you'd say, is just holding it, right? So you could try to argue that, perhaps, but we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, it's different anyways, but despite the fact is we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, like Chacham. So we hold even in the Ram, the very same halacha says the spit is a problem, the metal spit is a problem because the heat conducts and now it's going to be roasted by the spit. Even though the spit is just holding it, it doesn't matter. So what's the difference between the spit and the grate? It sounds like the exact same thing. Right? Okay, so how about this? Some very simple question. Okay? Very simple chakira. And you have tzli eish is good, and tzli davar acher is not good, right? Is it pshat that tzli machmas davar acher roasted by something else, some other medium, is a psol, is a posel, just like mevushel is a posel, and you know, and is a posel, and that's a psol. The cooking, anything else involved in the cooking, is a psol. Or do you say no? Is that it just has to be tzli eish? So if it's roasted by something else, it's an absence of tzliyesh. It's not like the Torah is positing a psol. It's just saying it has to be tzliyesh. Okay? In other words, now, one further point is that if you have two things roasting something, so which one's the roaster? So I'd say it depends. Depends which one is more direct. And if they're equally direct, then I'll say they're both roasting it. Okay, so for instance, if I have the animal, and a part of it touches the taner directly, okay, so it touches the oven. So the part which touches the oven, that part is directly roasted by the oven. Now it's true, it's in the oven and the fire heats up the oven and all that. But since there's a direct relationship at that point, there's a direct relationship to the oven and an indirect relationship to the fire. And therefore I'll say is that that part is defined as cooked by the oven and not cooked by the fire. And therefore it's a psal. Okay? If, for instance, the spit goes on the inside and the spit is metal, the inside of the animal is cooked directly by the spit and indirectly through the heat of the fire. Because the fire heats up the whole thing, you know, and it slowly gets, you know. So then I say again, that's roasted by the spit. It's not sleish. It's not sleish. If, for instance, a wooden spit, then the wood doesn't cook it, the wood doesn't get hot, it doesn't burn. And then the fire is cooking it indirectly. There's nothing wrong with indirect cooking. That's a fine method of cooking. But when you have a conflict between indirect and direct, it's defined as being cooked by the direct thing, not by the indirect thing. It overshadows the indirect thing. Now, when you have the barbecue grill, so I'd say it's like this, is that if let's say the grill is like tight and the fire doesn't get through, you know, or the fire is a low fire, like on your, you know, like a small flame, so I'll say the fire is creating ambient heat, but it's being cooked directly by the grate. And therefore, I'd say it's slave of the grates. But if the fire is bursting through the grates are wide and the fire is big, so then I'll say it's being cooked simultaneously by the fire and by the grates. It's being cooked by both of them simultaneously, right? It's not any more directly related to one or to the other. It's just related to both of them. So they're both involved in the cooking. So now that's the case of machlokas. If you say there's a psul of tzlimach mastavar acher, something else being involved in the roasting, that's a psul. That's what the Rav argues, that's what Rashi argues. But if you say it's just a halacha that it must be tzli'esh, so it is tzli'esh, because it's being roasted by the fire. Yeah. Rambam says it's shetish l'bohar, that it has to be the fire, like, you know, like grabs it, or it's like a sholeit on it, and it like rules over it. So I guess it has to be a point where a person would not identify it, where the relationship between the fire and the thing is equal to the relationship between the grate and the thing. I mean, I guess contact. I'd say if the fire is contacting it and the grate is contacting it, then it's fine. If the fire is touching the grate, which is touching the thing, then it's not, then it's directly to the thing. If it's touching the wall, if the grate touches the meat touches the wall, then it has contact with the wall and indirect contact with the heat, with the fire. So I say there's direct and there's indirect. And that's what I say, when the clash between direct and indirect wins, they're both direct, and then it's both of them. 50-50, it's not a matter of the quantity, it's just that is it in that spot, is it have direct contact with both of them? If there's direct contact with the fire, as long as there's direct contact with the fire, you're fine. And if there's indirect contact with the fire, that's also okay, as long as it doesn't have direct contact with anything else. Because then you'll say, what's cooking it? The fire's cooking it. What else is cooking it? There's nothing else that's cooking it. You know, but if it's in the oven and it's being cooked by the heat of the ambient heat in the oven, but then it touches the oven, then you'll say it's not the ambient heat, it's touching the oven. So then the oven is defined as cooking it, at least at that spot. You know what I mean? The whole Zizram says is that if it's a kli menuka of kadesha tishlod boha'or, so if you have a kli which is holes, in order that the fire will rule over it, will rain on it. So that's what he means. It doesn't just mean like a whole, you know. That's the point of it. You want the thing to be engulfed in flames. But how are you going to have something engulfed in flames? You can't hold it there, so you take a metal thing, you put it right on top of like a campfire somehow. You know, if you mamish, you want to put it in your campfire. But how are you going to put it in your campfire? So you put it on a grate, and you put mamish in the middle of the campfire, you know. But like an hour barbecues, it's not really like that. I mean, when you drip the fat, it makes a big flame or whatever. But pretty much our barbecues aren't like that, you know. They're not designed to be like that. They're designed to just create heat on the bottom, you know. But that's what he means. Kedaram saying, that's what Ram's adding in. Kedeshul Shatishul Bahor. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Ram says that. You know, so he's learning that's what the Gemara means, that it's if it's Menukav. If it has holes, then basically it's going to be Tzliyesh. Because it's the Shatishul Bahor. You know what I mean? It's a very nice question at the end of the day, because he definitely, the Torah set up certain psulim. Right? there are methods of cooking. There's cooking, there's boiling, there's roasting, there's So is there also tzli eish and tzli davar acher? There are all the different methods, and all these methods are psulim, and tzli eish is the only one which is good. Or do you just say, no, it's tzli and there's everything else? It's just that the tzli has to have a shame of tzli eish. Doesn't, I don't care if there's other stuff also. Who really cares? As long as there's a din of tzli eish. You know, so that's what I'm saying. It doesn't say, I'll don't do it with tzli davar acher. It just says tzli eish. So it's next to tzli eish. It tells you the tzli has to be defined as tzli eish. It doesn't mean if some other proper thing is there, it's going to be a posel. Whereas, but the Ravid and Rashi are learning it's the tzli davar acher is actually a psal. I'm saying it's definitely bishul as a posel. Or not as a posel. Because it's a law. You're not allowed to be bishul. So if the shem bishul registers, of course that's a problem. Because that's what the Torah openly says. Don't eat it roast, don't eat it raw, don't eat it goat. So there's definitely laughing. But it doesn't say don't eat it tzli davar acher. It just says tzli eish. The Yikuva repeats tzli eish. So does that just mean it better have the status of tzli eish? Or does it mean it's actually creating a negative, a psal of a tzli davar acher? So now we're moving on to something else. Okay? Related, but else. So, if you remember, we had this question about cooking it after you roast it. Okay? Cooking it after you're roasting it, once in a while, is that a problem? Right? Because it's already roasted. So it says, oh, I'll tell you why, because this is Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi holds that cooking registers even after roasting. So it was the case. The case is by matzah. So you have matzah, which is baked. And then you cook it in water, so the cooking registers. It's defined as cooked matzah, cooked in water, boiled matzah, and now it undermines the din lechem. The din lechem is something which is baked, not cooked. So if you put the matzah in water and boil it, so the status, according to Rabbi Yossi, the status of boiled, of bevushal registers, and thereby undermines the shem lechem. According to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't register. It's not defined as cooked. Since it's already out of the bowl, it's already baked, so that's it. There's no din bevushal. So, but Rabbi Yossi holds, no, the din of Mevushal registers, and it's going to remove the status of Lachem, and it's going to not be able to be used by Matzah. Okay? Now, our Gemara tried to say the same question here by Tzli. If you roast it, and then you will cook it in water, does the status of cooking register? If it does, then it's going to be a Psalav. If it doesn't, then it's not going to be Lachem. Okay. But the Tosus brings up that there's a problem, because in Maran Brachos, it tries to universalize the question about the matzah, and it doesn't quite do it. So let's see what the case there is. The case is slanesh slakos. Slakos is basically cooked vegetables, boiled vegetables. So you take vegetables and you boil them up. Okay. So the question is, what bracha do you say on them? Okay, steamed, boiled, whatever. Brachos 38b. Halfway down the page, at the beginning of the Karsi, it says, Dorosh of Nachman Mishim Rabbeinu, Uman Shmuel. So Nachman says, in the name of Shmuel, Shlakos Machem Rabbi Adama. Okay, Shlakos, cooked vegetables, boiled vegetables, say Adama. The Chavarina, Yodim Eretz Yisrael, Uman Ula, Mishim Rabbi Yochan, Alam, Shlakos Machem Rabbi Shakal. Nevedra. So Rabbi Yochan says, no, you say Shakal on the cooked vegetables. Okay, boiled vegetables. Ani Omer, and I say, this is Rabbi Nachman, the machlokas shnuya, the machlokas. Okay? So it's an earlier machlokas tanayim. In other words, Shmuel said, you say Adama. Yochanan says, you say Shaakol. And Rabbi Nachman says, what do you mean? This is a machlokas tanayim already. You're not coming along. This isn't a new question. This is an old question. It's a machlokas tanayim. So it depends how you pass in there. So what's the machlokas tanayim? It says, Etani yotzim rekei kasharo. You've been bushel. So anymoch, the Rebbe Meir, yotzim rekei kasharo. You've been bushel. Afishel anymoch. So basically, it's a case of matzah. If you have matzah, and you bake matzah, and then you cook it in water, could you be okay with it? So what the question there is does the fact that it's cooked undermine its status of lachem, right, or not? So he's saying it's the same thing here. Does the fact that it's mevushal, that it's cooked, undermine its status as being like pri adama somehow? So he's saying that same question. If you say that it ruins the shei matzah, so then you'll say it's not, it's going to remove the status of Priya Dhamma. If you say that it doesn't, then it's not. Right? That's what he's suggesting. Okay? And the Gemara answers, it says no. Velohi. The Kule Alma. Shlakan Rechamer Priya Dhamma. Really, I'll tell you, everyone says Adama. God can't look come reveals, he also knows to be in Tam Matzah. Maybe it's just there, it's because Matzah is a different, separate reason. because it's you need tam matzah, you need the taste of matzah. So therefore, if you cook it, it's going to be a problem. But really, in terms of shlakos, it will really still be defined as priya dama, even though it's cooked. Okay, we'll get to the tam matzah thing in a little bit. But for starters, the question is, what's the comparison? What's the comparison? Right? So Rashi says like this. It says, Ni Omer. Yeah, it says, Ni Omer. Shehin Chalukim put the Rebbe Rebbe Yossi. For Divrei Shmuel, the Rebbe Yochanan, Cholmin Yerkozin. The Chalukim Alzeh, Shmuel Kermeir. So Shmuel's like a mayor, the Amr Mvushal Kayim Milsei. So Shmuel holds like a mayor who holds that if it's cooked, it still retains its initial status. Rebbe Yochanan Kayim Rebbe Yossi. So the question is, he's saying is does cooking something remove the status of the object? Or do you say no? It's still the same thing. Right? Similarly, so, well, does it remove the status of bread and similarly remove the status of priya dama? Or you say no, it's the same thing. Okay, anyone, any problem on that comparison? Exactly. The Mara says it's true. On the surface, it's not really comparable because why bread? It has to be baked. So now you could say the cooking undermines the status of being baked. Or it doesn't, that's the question. But here, it's the priya dama. So what's the difference? It's cooked. So what does that mean? It's removing the status of priya dama. Priya dama came from the ground. Right, it's a priya dama. So who cares that it's cooked? Right, by lechem, though, lechem isn't just stuff that came from the ground. Lechem is bread, is a baked item. So the cooking, you could say, is going to change the status of a baked item. So in the surface, the question is, what's the underlying... I mean, look, you could say they're in svara, but what's the underlying svara which these two things are going to be the same question? Right, what's Rav Nachman must have an idea here which unites these two? Presumably, I think Tosa says something like this, but it's talking about a vegetable which you could eat raw. It's not talking about a cooked potato. It's a potato, that's the way you go, that's the way you eat it. You're not going to say, don't say adama on it. It's, you know, what it is here, it's something which is, it's cooked raw. It's edible raw, you eat it raw, but now you cook it, right? Say like green beans or broccoli, cauliflower, something like that. Right? So you just take it, you're making it cooked. So the question is, does that remove its hadama somehow? Or why would it? And what does that have to do with matzah? So that's what I say. The question is that what changes when you go out and you cook something? Why would vegetables, for instance, not be a priyadama? The priyadama, what's the difference? It came from the ground. They're still broccoli. So what changes is, it seems that the boiling in water changes the consistency. Makes it softer. Right? Things have a natural consistency. And by boiling it, you make it soft. So you can eat it easier, whatever it is. You take bread and you cook it in water, you soften it up. So you change the consistency. So the idea of bishul is a process which changes the consistency of the thing. So the question is that do you say that a consistency is part, an essential part of a food, such that if you change its consistency, it becomes takes on a different identity? So if I cook the priya dama vegetables, do you still say it's the same ochel, just has a different consistency? Or do you say, no, once it has a different consistency, it's a different ochel? You know, of course it will call it broccoli. I mean, it doesn't go by, you know, you could call things... I don't know if you just go by what you call it. It depends how else you're going to call it, you know. But in terms of it's for a chef, it's like a different thing. Right? You take, for instance, you take a, it's a difference between a steak and a chilled meat. Maybe the same piece of meat, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I mean, no one would ever take their steak and put it in their chilled. There's a different type, a different kind of meat. It's a whole different thing. One's softer, one. So you can say it's. So that's the question: is the consistency? That's what we're suggesting. Is what's the question by vegetables? Is the consistency a part, an essential part of the ochel or not? So it says, well, I'll tell you, look, we have this case right by matzah. See, by matzah, there's a machlokas, whether cooking it ruins the shem alechem. So it's the same question. Is do you say, when I change the consistency, I undermine its status or not? Right? So the Gemara says, no. Then I'll tell you, really, it doesn't undermine its status. But it's a special halacha by matzah, because b'in and tam matzah. That's, you need the taste of matzah. So we have to go think about this a little bit, but the outline of what he's saying is that really consistency is accidental, but in matzah it's essential because of something about matzah, mitzvah matzah. It demands that its consistency is the same. Also, otherwise, it's not the mitzvah matzah. So it's still lechem; doesn't change the definition as a food, but it's something particular about the mitzvah of matzah that demands tam matzah, which means it needs the matzah in its fullest. And it can't be lacking, flavor. Right? The problem is, it's not true. You don't have to taste matzah. That's the question the Romanian asks. Because the halacha is, if you swallow matzah without tasting it, you feel a mitzvah. So there's no halacha that it has to have a taste. Right? There's no halacha that it has to have a taste. So what would you answer to that? You don't have to taste the matzah. So Samar says, yeah, but so the chafta, it's still not the... Just because you personally don't have to taste it, doesn't mean if you change its taste, it means it's not a different object. It's a regular matzah, so it's a regular matzah, and it has taste. And that's what makes a matzah. Now, it doesn't mean you have to taste it, but you're eating matzah. But once you change it, change its consistency, and make it into a whole different tasting type of a thing, you'll say that's not how it loses the status of matzah. Part of the status of matzah is that it has to have the flavor. But it's a little... you could say that. But the question is, why is it that the matzah is only matzah that has the taste? It's a little bit funny. I mean, if you told me that you had a taste it, then I could understand that. But just to say, oh, that's the chafza is, it has a bread that has a certain taste. I mean, why is that? Why should that be? So the Iranian says a different answer. Yeah. I think taste is he's talking about. I think they're somewhat interchangeable here. Because, I mean, it's taste, it's a different aspect of the taste. I mean, part of taste is the consistency. You know what I mean? It's just we're kind of boiling particular, make particular what about the taste. I mean, it may still taste like broccoli, but it's the eating taste. Part of the taste is the eating experience, the way in which you eat it, you know?
Not really.
What? Yeah, consistency. But I don't know if there's a word for consistency.
Why isn't it taste, though?
Why isn't it taste?
Yeah, because it's just a part of it.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it says if I change the taste. But I mean, no one's going to say if I put a spice on the thing, it's going to become a different food.
Right.
It's because it's like a certain essential change in the property of the food that it's different consistency. It's not just a little, you know. It's a major qualitative change in its taste. Namely, it becomes soft, you know. So it's a quality in the taste. So the Reniona says, he says, it's not because it doesn't have taste. It's not like it has to taste like matzah. But he says because it makes it into like a matzah ashira, which is like rich man's bread. Matzah ashira, you know, it's like matzah which is made with like oils or, you know, eggs. That's like egg matzah. It's called matzah ashira. So he says it's not because it actually has to taste like bread, but it's a din. Let me just find it here. Exactly how he says it. Yeah, he says. He says to be in time matzah. It's not because it's not. Doesn't mean because he says you never need taste. Ela lechem oni. That's all you need. It doesn't say it has to taste like matzah. It just has to be lechem oni. So he says in first remain it surface to be in time matzah ania v'lecha. That's have the taste of matzah oni, of poor man's bread. V'zu kivashim uvushalas have the matzah ashira. So now since it's cooked, it's like rich man's bread. Okay, so what it's saying is that it doesn't mean it has a taste of matzah, but it has the taste of lechem oni, of the poor man's bread. And the poor man's bread is like, it's for instance, it's like, why? What's so hard about eating matzah, as opposed to bread, what we call bread? It's because it's like, it's hard to eat, right? It's like hard and crunchy and like, to chew a million times to get the thing down, right? As opposed to bread, which is soft, so it's easy to eat. Right, so it's like a rich man's bread in general is bread which is it's risen and it's, you know, it's so the generally when it rises now it's much easier to eat. When it's the ani in general, I think the ani, the point is it costs a lot of, you know, you have to get your oven, keep your oven on longer to let the thing rise and to cook fully. But the ani just lights the fire, keeps it going for short, and cooks it quickly, you know, in the quickest cooking method. So it'll make the fire of the oven very hot, cook it quickly. And he's not going to, he doesn't have the money for the wood, so he's just going to make a hot fire and still get it, you know, 1, 2, 3. So it'll cook quicker, it cooks very quick, the matzah. I mean, they leave it in there for like, if you've ever seen the matzah factories, I mean, those things are in the oven for 20 seconds or something, you know, they just put them in and pull them right out, you know, it's like super hot, the oven's like boiling hot, you know. So the idea is that, but the rich man's bread is where it's softer. So the saying is, even though that's the real halacha of chametz versus matzah, what it's saying is that here, even though it's not going to become chametz, because it's already baked, you know, before it rose, But if you make it soft, if you cook it and make it soft, it's going to have the taste of a rich man's bread. Part of the idea, and that's I think why the matzah shira in general is like you mix it with like eggs instead of with water. So now it's not going to have the, it's going to be rich man's bread. It means it's technically it's not risen, but yet it has the property of not poor man's bread. It loses its property. Property of the matzah lachamoni is like the consistency of the thing. So what it's saying is if you cook it, so even though you're not mixing in any other ingredients, but you're basically giving it the tam of matzah shira. So the idea of matzah lachem oni is in the properties of the matzah, it has to be matzah lachem oni. And the properties, of one property is consistency. So if you boil it, it changes the consistency, but not that that changes its status as an ochel in terms of vegetables and whatever. It's just because the mitzvah of matzah has a halacha that has to be lachem oni as opposed to matzah shira, so therefore the consistency is an essential thing. But in the tam means that the eating experience. Tam is like the eating experience is the eating experience of lachem oni as opposed to matzah shira. You know, but by vegetables, it's a different eating experience. Okay, big deal. It doesn't mean it's not a priyadama. Doesn't mean you can't prove it. The point is that the Gemara try to compare that. The Gemara says, no, you can't compare the matzah to the vegetables because it's a special halacha by matzah. Right? Ula try to compare that, but the Gemara rejected it. And says, no, you can't compare them. Or, yeah, I think. One second. Ula, over here, Ula. One second. Where's our Tosus? And basically, the Tosus bothered by is that the Gemara in the Brachos seemingly ends up saying you can't compare matzah to vegetables. So it's not a universal question, it's a specific question about matzah. So then, how in our Gemara by Tzli, is it trying to say, compare and learn out from matzah to the Korban Pesach and Tzli, whether it's a vishal will register after Tzli. The Gemara in Bracha says it's a unique question about matzah. So there's nothing to do with the Tzli and Mevashal and that, right? So that's what he said, that's his problem. But he says is that Ula is the one who compares them, and Ula over there compared them. So Ula, he's trying to say that it depends who, how you hold. But the Gemara is some Ula want to over there was of the opinion that really they're comparable and it's a universal by matzah. So it's universal by matzah and universal by Tzli also. You know, by Korban Pesach as well. And the question is, does the Bishul register? And now it changed, you know, because it's making it all soft and all that, the Bishul register, where you say, no, it doesn't matter that it's cooking. You know, so that's what he's just trying to link up the sickness, you know. It depends how you learn this question of matzah. Is it a unique thing of matzah or is it generalizable? You know, so in this Gemara, which is Ula, is generalizing from that case, but it's saying it's fine because in Brachos, even though Rav Nachman or whatever rejects the comparison, or whoever is rejecting the comparison, Ula has had a hell you could compare them. All right, so that's what it's saying. Is that? I think tomorrow I want to do some Chumash. So I think, but what I like to do is two things. One thing is the Makel Dever, kind of a plague. You know, that animals all died. There's a Rashi and a Ramban and Ibn Ezra on that. And then maybe I'm going to do there's an Ibn Ezra also there in Perek Tes. It's basically Perek Tes, the beginning of Perek Tes. First you check Perek Tes with the Rashi, Ramban, Ibn Ezra. And you'll see there's a Ramban, there's a Rashi also on the next one, on the next Makkah, about the animals, where they get the animals from. So it's basically the first 10, 15 seconds of Perek Tes. What? Ishmael, huh? Where the problem is, all animals died in Dever, it seems. They all died from the plague. But then in the next Makkah, which was Shkin, it says the animals got boils. Oh, so Rashi says, what do you mean, where the animals come from? Oh. Didn't they just all die? So he says, no, they didn't all die. The ones that stayed in the field, whatever. And you can look at Rashi. There's Rashi on the next Makkah on Shkin, and then on this one, there's the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra. You know, and well, that's the first thing I want to do. And then I want to do this Ibn Ezra on the beginning of the parak. He basically goes through all the makos. He gives like a summary of the 10 makos, kind of. He gives a basic, you know, approach to how to approach the makos. So it could be interesting. I don't have it fully worked out, but, you know.
It's not the...